You know, every jiva has their particular way that Krishna wants them to serve him. At least this is the way Prabhupada presents it. Sometimes there's some different viewpoints, like everything. But it's nitya, it's eternal, it's nitya. It's like this whole journey in the material world is just a dream. It's not real, it's just a dream. We have an eternal spiritual body, and Jiva Goswami says it's lying in the spiritual world. And it's like dormant. How that works is a little hard to understand. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the analogy, because everything's active, everything's conscious, everything's moving. But he said it's like that, something like a statue, a murti in a murti shop, or a shiny new car in a parking lot. And then when we become to the level of bhava, then either Guru reveals or the holy name reveals or we Bhakti Devi reveals that our eternal spiritual identity. It's called Swarup, Swarup, my Swarup, my eternal spiritual form. And that's in a particular Stai Bhav or Stai Rati. So all these forms, they have a relationship with Krishna, a service relationship which is based on love, a loving service relationship. And if the jiva is in Braj, some jivas are Vaikuntha servitors. They're there to serve the Lord in Vaikuntha. Some are servitors in Vrindavan, which is the topmost Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna is managing and directing and arranging every jiva to move in its particular course to meet his prescribed destined fulfillment. So for usually said, at least some acharyas give this idea that if someone comes to Gaudiya Sampradaya, although they may be Vaikuntha souls, let's say, but generally they would go to Goloka Vrindavan. Otherwise, Krishna would direct them to some Ramanuja Sampradaya or Madhva or some other Sampradaya that leads one to Vaikuntha in Dasya Rati, Dasya Ras or Sranta Ras. But Braj is all about Sakya Ras and Vatsali Ras and Madhurya Ras. Becomes Krishna's friend or Krishna's mother or father, like in that bhav, in that mood, or Krishna's loving Sakhi, or maidservant of Radharani, assistant Sakhi of Radharani, maidservant Manjari, Kinkari, Palyadasi. So that's eternal. So that has to be realized. So when one realizes that, that's the will of the Lord. The Lord wants our service and our love in a particular specified way. It's not that we're like a chameleon. Well, today I'm a coward boy, tomorrow I'm a manjari, and tomorrow I'm a tree, and tomorrow I'm a peacock. It's not like that. The Lord, it's all the will of the Lord. So unlimited servitors, all dedicating units, and the Lord has established the eternal, its eternal identity. Somehow we've forgotten it, somehow or other it's forgotten. And it has to be realized. That spiritual body is waiting, and then we realize it, and then that's us. And then we realize the details of that spiritual body in a particular designated, specified stai rati, madhura rati, conjugal love, mood of conjugal love, is sakhi manjari, sakhi or manjari. Gaudiya Sampradaya is generally manjari, or a sukha, coward boy, or as mother, father. And then we serve in that Swarup, in that spiritual form, we serve the Astakali Lila in different services according to the need of the pastime and the direction of our Guru Sakhi. So this is how it will go. And everyone is fully satisfied and no one's thinking, oh, this is nice being a Sakhi, but I think I'd like to be a coward boy. This type of thinking doesn't come on. It's not like some woman in this world may think, oh, I wish I was a man. Or some man thinks, I wish I was a woman, or even they dress like that and have sex changes. That kind of finicky idea or whimsical mind is not there. Because it's all Swarup Shakti. It's all spiritual Shakti. It's all consciousness. It's all on the plane of consciousness. There's no duality. This is better than that. Here's a plane of duality. Rich, poor, day and night. Haves and have-nots. Better, good, better, best. But there it's all absolute. So everyone feels absolutely satisfied and absolutely blissful and absolutely fulfilled in whatever way they're rendering service. No one's missing anything. No one's missing out. No one's feeling, oh, you have more than me. Or you're getting better time than I am. You're more intimate with Krishna than I am. The trees, the grass, the river, the birds, they think they have a fully intimate relationship with the Lord. They don't feel, oh, I wish maybe next time I can be a sucky. This kind of thinking doesn't go on. There's no room for that. There's no duality. There's no limitation there. It's all going on a platform of consciousness. I heard a nice quotation here from Prabhupada's very dear and beloved godbrother, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami. He had such a very poetical and beautiful way of describing things, and our Srila Prabhupada really loved him dearly. And he said that the spiritual world is a land of service, a land of dedication, a land of devotion. And this material world, and this material plane, everyone is an exploiting unit. One person is exploiting another person. No one can exist. From the ant to Lord Brahma, no one in this material world can exist without exploiting someone or something or some object. But in the spiritual world, everyone is a dedicating unit. Actually, dedicating unit is the inner nature of every soul. If one examines the actual Atma, Jiva Dharma, what is the Dharma of the Jiva? Jiva Atma Dharma. Beyond body, beyond gender, beyond race and creed. He finds out what is the actual core of my existence. What is the very essence of my being? What is the very heartbeat of my soul? And the principle is dedication. It comes out that the inner nature of every soul is dedication. Here in this outer world, in the material world, everyone lives by exploiting. But in the spiritual world, everyone lives by dedication. So in the material world, everyone lives by exploitation. In the spiritual world, everyone lives by dedication. Helping one another to become purest, purest, and purest. And we see in a temple that when you have a temple, if you have a very nicely organized temple, ISKCON temple, then everyone's working together for a common cause. Everyone's working for the pleasure of the deities or for the pleasure of Prabhupada. So although one person is designated as temple president, one's temple commander, one's head pujari, one's sankirtan leader, these are the basic positions, and treasurer. So you have temple president, and then treasurer, then maybe vice president, and then you have head pujari, sankirtan leader, and temple commander. And everyone else is under these departments. These are the department heads. But no one feels that they're getting exploited. They see that everyone's dedicated. The temple president is dedicated. He's not sitting in a big chair just eating mahaprasad all day and giving orders. He's out preaching, he's studying, he's traveling, he's organizing, and he fills in. If the head pujari is sick, then he does the artik himself. So if you live in a very proper Krishna conscious temple, then everyone's working hard. Everyone, whether you're a new bhakta, not even initiated, and just doing some simple tasks, some simple menial devotional service in the kitchen, cutting vegetables, chopping vegetables, or taking out the temple trash, or cleaning the temple toilets, transcendental toilets, which we did when we started. No one thinks that they're being exploited. Everyone's blissful. Everyone's chanting Hare Krishna. Everyone's connected to the center. Everyone knows, oh, I'm doing my part. I'm doing my little, this is my little area of dedication. I'm a dedicated servant of the toilet. And then the temple president is thinking, yes, I'm doing my part. I'm a dedicated servant of all the devotees. I'm dedicated to serving them and making them happy and keeping them engaged in Krishna consciousness and pushing on the preaching. And I'm working as best I can in my area of dedication. Everyone has a circle of dedication. The center of everyone's dedication is Krishna, Krishna's happiness, and Krishna's reciprocating with everyone's dedication in the form of the temple deity. Of course, the devotees also reciprocate. But each devotee is intimately and directly connected to the deity, who is simply one form of the Supersoul. As the Antaryami Super Soul and the Arch of Vigraha and Vaibhav Prakash and Prakash Vigraha and Swayam Bhagavan are all five forms of the same Absolute. So this is the spiritual world. Everyone lives by dedication, helping one another. So temple president cannot be a temple president unless everyone helps him. And no one can live in a temple and be happy and peaceful unless they work cooperatively with the temple president. So he has to work for them, they have to work for him, and they're all working together for Krishna. They're all dedicated. So that's why temples that are properly organized and that are Krishna-conscious temples are very blissful places. And I remember when I would go and visit different temples in the 70s when Prabhupada was here, visit San Diego or San Francisco or Denver. They're very blissful abodes of bliss. All the boys are so cheerful and happy, and everyone's engaged, and everyone's preaching and working hard, chanting and dancing, studying, nice classes. It's like Prabhupada said, the temple is a spiritual world. But if any exploitation or separate interest enters there, then it spoils the whole atmosphere. The spiritual land, spiritual world is a land of dedication. A land of devotion. It is noble. It is possible. Everyone is dedicating, and all can live. All can live by that lofty principle of reality. Such a beautiful phrase, he said. All can live by that lofty principle of reality. In every aspect of life, the residents of the spiritual world, they deal in the dedicating spirit, or in the spirit of dedication. As we said, everywhere center, nowhere circumference. He also spoke about the material world. He said, actually, this material world, everything is beautiful. All is good. There are no misgivings here. Love above justice, only love, well-feeling, welfare. What we find here to be undesirable is only our miscalculation. Maya, what is this Maya? What is the meaning of Maya? Maya means miscalculation. Maya, that which is not. What we feel, what we see, what we take by miscalculation, that is Maya. The whole calculation that we are living in, is all Maya. But beyond this, if we see Krishna's hand, everything becomes beautiful, divine love. We shall enter the realm of Krishna, Vrindavan, a land of divine love, sweetness, harmony, fulfillment, love, and charm. If you look at all the instructions on the matter about the situation with the jiva, it appears that there's a potentiality. Every jiva has a potentiality to serve Krishna. Seva, the potentiality of service. But that potentiality has to be awakened by some contact, just like there's fire inside of wood. But if you never rub the wood, then the fire never comes out. So there's some process. You have to rub two pieces of wood together, then the fire comes out and manifests. So another piece of wood, beside the wood, on its own, the wood doesn't produce fire. It needs some contact with another object, another piece of wood. So the Guru says, Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. He gives a Bhakti Lata Bija. So someone could say, well, if we already have bhakti, how does the Guru give bhakti lata bija? It says right that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. He gives the seed of devotion. Which means, by hearing from Guru, by hearing Sambandha Gyan, by getting knowledge about one's identity and the identity of God, receiving transcendental knowledge from spiritual books, which means guru, or directly from guru, one understands what is his identity. Who is God? Who am I? What is the purpose of life? And how I can realize God? What is sadhana? What is the goal of sadhana? All this knowledge one receives. So then by the virtue of that knowledge and by the grace of guru, then one gets initiated. So initiation means that he awakens the potential to serve. But now we're serving Maya since millions of years. So the guru gives the bhakti lata bija, the seed of bhakti means the seed of service. He awakens the service, and that service develops, and then love descends. It says that bhava descends from the hearts of the nityasiddha associates, and bhava descends. And bhakti itself, bhakti is an expansion of Radharani, an amsa of Radharani. She's a combination of two shaktis, Ladini Shakti and Sambit Shakti. So she's residing in the hearts of the pure devotees. And then when we become purified, then that bhakti comes down to us. So we have the potential, but without certain factors, that potential doesn't reach its fulfillment. It's kinetic fulfillment, or whatever you want to say, kinetic expression. So guru is required, sadhana is required, kripa is required. So we do sadhana, vaidhi sadhana, then we may take up raganuga sadhana, or we can continue with vaidhi. Vaidhi sadhana without raganuga leads to bhava, and that bhava leads to vaikuntha. Raganuga sadhana is of braj bhakti, that's for braj bhakti, that leads to Goloka Vrindavan. So then that prepares the heart, purifies the heart. When the heart is purified, then the mercy from the nityasiddhas, the mercy from the great devotees descends by mercy of guru. We say, yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagadikatopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, or the mercy of the pure devotees, then one gets Krishna, one gets Krishna prem. Prem descends into the heart. This is the general way that I understand it from the scriptures. It says, Nityasiddha Krishna Prema Sajikamanaya Shravana Dishuddha Chite Koryo Adaya. Nityasiddha Krishna Prema, that Krishna Prema is eternally situated. So, Prabhupada says that Krishna Prema is in the heart, but it'll never come out unless one qualifies. And other acharyas, when they explain this verse, they say it says nityasiddha bhavasya, that this nityasiddha bhav, this bhav and prem is with the liberated souls, the nityasiddhas. And when we become purified and follow an anugata, or in line of them, in their line, then they become pleased and they bless us with the bhava bhakti in their heart. The bhava bhakti in our heart shines on our heart. And that bhava bhakti is Shuddha Bhakti. That's Shuddha Bhakti or Shuddha Nam, and it descends, like we say, Shuddha Nam descends. Shuddha Nam descends from the Lord when He's pleased. So we're chanting, but it's not Shuddha Nam. So Shuddha Nam descends and mixes with our Nam and purifies it, then we experience Shuddha Nam, a pure name. Nityasiddha Bhavasya. So it's there, but without system, you can say, it won't come out. It's not, because if we say, you can just say, okay, prema is eternally in my heart, I'll just sit here in my room and I'll just chant and it'll come out. But it doesn't work like that. Nityasiddha Krishna prema sadya kabunai shravanadi shuddha chitte karya udai. Krishna prema is a potentiality which eternally exists in the hearts of the living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting under the guidance of Sadguru, the love naturally awakens. And that's the translation here. So not gained from another source, I mean it's there, but it has to mix, you can say. mixes with the mercy. It's the mercy that brings it out. Then mercy is Bhakti Devi. You know, we go through Ando Shara Tata Sara Sangha Bhajan Kriya Nartan Devri Tata. So then there's Ruchi, then Asakti. Then Asakti means we become attached to Krishna, we become attached to his eternal associates. We're always praying to them and thinking of them and worshipping them. At the same time, we're doing sadhana bhakti, raganuga sadhana. And we become purified. When we become purified, then their mercy descends. And their mercy is this bhava and prema. It comes from their hearts and descends into our heart. Or you can say it mixes in our heart. In other words, we don't get it from anywhere else. We have it. It's part of our nature. That's what the verse is saying. You don't get it from somewhere else. It's part of your nature. But that nature is covered. And that covering has to be removed. Initiation means beginning. It means you're connected, officially accepted by the Lord. It's like enrolled in the school. Then you start getting credits for your activities. The definition of bhav: Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma Prema Sriyamshu Samya Bhag Ruchibish Chitta Mashrina Kridaso Bhava Uchite. Bhava Bhakti is constituted entirely of Vishuddha Sattva, is like a sun of prema, like a ray of the sun of prema, and softens the heart by various tastes. Bhava, this is from Jiva Dharma. Spiritual emotions, love, or sentiments. It's the meaning of the word bhava. First there's sadhana bhakti, then bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. The initial stage of perfection and devotion, bhava bhakti. A stage of bhakti in which Shuddha Sattva, the essence of the Lord's internal potency, consisting of spiritual knowledge and bliss. Remember I said bhakti is spiritual knowledge, samvit. Spiritual bliss, ladini. So this is Antaranga Shakti, this is Sarup Shakti. This Sarup Shakti, the Lord's internal potency, or Sarup Shakti, is transmitted into the heart of the practicing devotee from the heart of one of the Lord's eternal associates. And at that time it softens the heart by different kinds of tastes. It is a sprout of prema, and it is also known as Rati. It is the seventh stage of the creeper of devotion. Jiva Dharma, page 526, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is a general idea that it descends into the heart. So it's not to be gained from somewhere else, because it's part of our makeup. That we have the potentiality to love God. Otherwise, what's the point? Why would we endeavor in any sadhana? That potential is within us. So then that potential, as I said, is a potentiality. It's the same word they used here. There's something here also, there's a definition I can look up here of bhakti. This is from the very beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is, of course, describing the science of bhakti. There's another translation of the same verse that we just read. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 22, verse 107. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabu Nai Shravan Adi Shuddha Chitte Karaya Udai. Krishna Prema is an eternally established reality. It is not brought about by sadhana. It manifests itself by the mercy of Sadguru in the heart purified by sadhana, the performance of the various limbs of bhakti such as Shravan and Kirtan. So we do sadhana, but sadhana alone is not enough to get prema. That's why I said mercy must be there. Guru must be there. Mercy must be there. So it's just the sadhana prepares, establishes some purity and some attractability. It would attract the mercy from above. Attract the mercy from Guru and all the line of all the Gurus in Parampara, and mercy from the eternal associates of the Lord and the spiritual world. And then they bless us. So this verse saying, Nityasiddha Krishna Prema, it's Krishna Prema is Nityasiddha, it's eternal established reality. Sadhya Kabunai, at any time. Nai means not, Sadhya. Sadhya means a goal. It's not attained. It's not attained at any time. It's not something you attain, it's eternally existing. You don't have it and you get it. It doesn't exist, then it exists. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karya Udai. And it says that Shuddha Shravan Adi, beginning with hearing, Shuddha Chitte, when the chitta, the heart, is purified, Karya Udai, it is aroused. So it's aroused. When the heart is purified, you arouse the attention of the Nityasiddhas. And this is another verse. This is two verses before this. Madhya Lila chapter 22, verse 105, which is in the first wave of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 2, verse 2, which is the description of sadhana bhakti. What is sadhana bhakti? You're trying to do sadhana bhakti. What is sadhana bhakti? Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa saranad saranabhida nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam bhri sadhyata. Sadhana bhakti is the engagement of the mind and senses in the various limbs of bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is the engagement of the mind and senses in the nine limbs of bhakti. Actually, there are 64 altogether. These are nine major ones. For the purpose of attaining bhava bhakti. This bhav is a potentiality which eternally exists in the heart of the jiva. And it is manifested in the heart purified by sadhana through the mercy of a nitya siddha, a living sadguru. Nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam riddhi sadhyata. As verified in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, bhav is an eternally accomplished phenomenon, Nityasiddha, which always exists in the eternal associates of Bhagavan. This Nityasiddha bhav manifests itself by the mercy of the Lord's eternal associates. This bhav manifests in the heart of a purified jiva who has become purified by sadhana and receiving the mercy of Guru. The jiva has the seed adaptability. This is how it's called. The jiva has a seed adaptability or inherent potential to receive it, just as a female parrot has a seed adaptability to learn to speak. In other words, parrot has the potential. You can teach how to speak, but it doesn't speak if you don't teach it. In other birds, you can all day long say, Polly want a cracker, and just go, it'll never. So we have the potentiality, because we are such an anand. That anand is you can say, an aspect or a vitiation of the aladini. Not really, because it's tatastha. We're tatastha jiva, and ladini is antaranga. But ladini is the equivalent of anand. And chit is the equivalent of samvit. And sat is the equivalent of sandini, to some extent. Sandini means existence. Sarup Shakti is everything. Okay. Sarup Shakti means Krishna's own Shakti. Sarup, my personal, the form of my Shakti. But when that aspect of Sarup Shakti called Bhakti contains Ladini and Samvit. And of course, Sandini is also there, but it's not, they generally present it like this. But Sarup Shakti means Krishna, the internal energy. Krishna's Sarup Shakti means all the energies. Unlimited energies. The Surup Shakti means his internal energies, Antaranga Shakti, his personal energies. So the Vasudeva Krishna, he is the Samvit potency. And Balaram, Balaram is his first expansion. He is the Sandini potency, existence, foundation, existence, and he expands as Ananta Shesh and all these other Mahavishnu, all these different aspects to make things exist, the holy Dham and the seat and asan, and all these things that he establishes, serves Krishna and as far as the holy Dham, as a place, existence, the Dham. If you want to do something, you need a place. So that's Sandini, existence. So for something to exist, there has to be the action of Sandini. And then this knowledge, or chit, Vasudev, Krishna's Samvit, or knowledge. And Madhini is Radharani's Shakti. So Radharani and Krishna combine, right? Yeah. Vasudev, Krishna, Samvit. Yeah. Ladini, Radharani, bliss potency. Bliss potency, love potency, divine love potency, bliss, joy, happiness. Anand, bliss. But it's different. The Ladini is slightly different than Anand. It's very, very minute, and that Ladini is unlimited power. So this is what happens, that the Nitya Siddhas, who are in the spiritual realm, are totally self-realized, bhava and prema bhaktis, bhaktas, then this, their love light, so to speak, shines on our heart and creates about this transformation. Inherent potential becomes kinetic. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sarana abhida. Sarana abhida. Kriti sadhya. That which is executed by the senses, by vet, it should be understood. Sadhya bhava. Sadhya bhava. By which bhava bhakti is acquired. Sadhyata, potentiality. So it's not on our own. We need a lot of help from above. Chatiki bird. Chatiki bird is always looking up. Chatiki bird is a type of sparrow. Chataka and Chataki. Chataka is male and Chataki is female. Very speciality, very unique aspect of this bird. That this bird only drinks water from a rain cloud. He won't drink water from the ground. He won't drink water from a lake or a river or a bird bath or any other place. Very unusual bird. So if it doesn't rain, he gets pretty thirsty. So you can imagine that.
The Chatak bird.
Yeah, it's called Chatak. It's the male, and Chataki is the female. Chakora and Chakori. Chakora drinks moonbeams. Male Chakora and female Chakori. So Chataki, so he's, what is he always doing? He's always flying in the sky with his head up and his mouth open. Trishna means thirst. Ati Trishna, he has lots of thirst. And he's always looking, he's gazing everywhere. Where are the clouds? Where's a rain cloud that I can go and drink some water? So devotees should be like a Chataki bird or a Chatak bird, always looking up. Asha Bandha, hope against hope. Asha means hope. He's always looking up with his mouth open, looking for a rain of mercy, looking for drops of mercy to fall. Drops of mercy to fall. He's looking up, he's hopeful. Hopeful means full of hope. Eyes open, mouth open, head raised, gazing, searching, looking for opportunity for mercy, looking for an opportunity to drink some water. Otherwise he perishes. He needs that support, he needs that water. Hare Krishna. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa saranabhida nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam riddhi sadhyata. Sadhana bhakti is the engagement of the mind and senses in the limbs of devotion for the purpose of attaining bhava bhakti. So it's preparatory work. It's preparatory work, sadhana bhakti. We engage in sadhana bhakti to attain bhava. And what is this bhava? Bhava is a potentiality which eternally exists in the heart of the jiva. So that means jiva has the potential to love God, but it's dormant. It's sleeping like seed. So when the water comes on the seed, water and light, then the seed sprouts and grows. The water and light is hearing and chanting, knowledge from above. The seed is covered with ignorance. The soul is covered with ignorance. Tamasi man jyotirgama. Ignorance is covering us. We're unaware of our identity. We're unaware of our inherent love. Our ability to love God is covered. Our identity, God and we and our identity, our relationship, our sambandha, our potentiality is all covered by illusion and darkness and ignorance. So Guru comes and removes that ignorance. Oman gyanam timarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur meditam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. Then we can see and understand the existential reality of our eternal identity, what we're made of, what is our potentiality. We have the potential to be eternal dedicating units in the plane of dedication, spontaneous dedication, Vrajadam. Everyone is spontaneously dedicated for the loving service of Radha and Krishna. No misapprehension, no miscalculation, no exploitation, no apprehension. So this nityasiddha bhav, nityasiddhasya bhavasya, eternally present nityasiddhasya. This nityasiddha bhav manifests itself by mercy of Krishna's eternal associates. How does it manifest? It manifests in the heart of the purified jiva. And jiva has a seed adaptability, the inherent potential to receive it. We can catch it, like Shiva caught the Ganga. He had the power to catch the Ganga in his hair when she descended from celestial regions to Mount Kailash. He caught the Ganga. So we can catch that wave of descending mercy, mercy from above. We can catch that rainfall, Madhurya Kadambini. Muktir hitvan yata rupam swarupena vyavastati. Sarup. Sarup is talked about even in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam also talks about Sarup Siddhi, second canto, chapter 10, verse 6. Muktir hitvan yata rupam swarupena vyavastati. Prabhupada quoted this verse many times. I can just see what he said about that. 2:10:6. Hey, this says it's two lines. There's four lines in the verse, but these are the two lines he would quote. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross, and subtle material bodies. So in this translation is telling, real liberation, muktir, or mukti, means realizing one's sarup, and one's nitya seva to Radha and Krishna. In other words, one is not liberated upon leaving this body if he takes another body, nor if he simply doesn't take another form, which means sayujya mukti. Real liberation is when one enters into the spiritual world by transcendental loving devotional service. Muktir hitva nyata. Hitva, this, all these words, hitva, hanti or hitva, all means death or giving up. Muktir hitva nyata. So giving up this body, anyata, hitva nyata, otherwise, rupam, sorupena. Sarupena means sarup, means your own form, my own form, swa, my own form. One's spiritual constitutional form, vyavastiti, stiti means fixed position, place, vyava means eternal. Vyavastiti, eternal position. So even if one, mukti doesn't mean dying, get another body, that's not mukti, because you can say, Muktir hitva yata rupam. When you give up this rupam, hitva yata, when you give up this rupam, that's mukti. Once, yeah, it's mukti from this body, but then you can take another birth. Or you can say, oh, mukti means that you merge in Brahman. You give up all material bodies and get no body and lose all identity. And then they say, no, this is not an eternal position. This is not vyavastiti. But real, eternal, the eternal position of mukti is sarupena rupam, to actually have your own sarup, to realize your spiritual form. Real liberation means realizing one's sarup, sarupena vyavastiti, and one's nitya seva, one's eternal seva to Radha and Krishna. And the sages at Namisharanya were all the greatest and learned sages. When they asked Suta Goswami, they said, listen, there's so many Vedic literatures, there's so many paths of transcendence, there's so many yoga systems, there's this, there's that, there's Sankhya, there's Gyan, there's Yoga, there's mysticism, there's Tantric, there's white Tantric and black Tantric, there's Devi Puja and Devata Puja and Yajna and Archan, there's so many systems and so many paths and so many ways. Yatamat Tatapat, many paths. Yatamat Tatapat, so many paths. But can you tell us, we have one question. We just have one question. If you can ask that question. All the sages, Shonaka Rishi asked a question on behalf of all the sages. Because here, this is a phrase that Prabhupada used to quote, Yatamat Tatapat. There are many paths as there are opinions. Mati means intelligence or opinion, and pat means path, P-A-T-H, path. Yatamat tatapat. Yatamat tatapat. There's many minds, many ways, many opinions. Mati means intelligence. Like the sannyasis, when they bless someone, they say, Krishne matir astu. This is told in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Lord Chaitanya would see someone, he would give a blessing. Krishne matir astu. May your mati, or may your opinion, let it be, astu, let it be, may it be of Krishna. May it be of the opinion of Krishna. Or may your intelligence, mati means intelligence, mati, your opinion or idea. May your idea or intelligence go to Krishna, or may Krishna reside in your intelligence, or may you always think of Krishna, or may you always serve Krishna with your intelligence and everything. Krishna mati astu. A way of saying, be Krishna conscious. May you be Krishna conscious. So when Shonaka Rishi asked on behalf of those thousands of rishis, of all these yatamat tatapat, which is the way that will actually make the living entity happy? Because this is the bottom line, happiness. Everyone wants happiness. No matter what we do, it's to get happiness. All the objects we have, we don't want the objects, we want what the objects will give us. We don't want people, we want what people will give us. People are supposed to give us happiness. Objects, we're supposed to derive happiness from the objects we possess. We're supposed to derive, or we want to derive, happiness from the people we associate with. This is the driving force. Every jiva wants to avoid pain and go for happiness. Pleasure seeking. So the question was by Shonaka to Sutta Goswami, the great learned Sutta Goswami, can you please tell us how we can find happiness? What is the ultimate way to find happiness? And he said, right in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Savaipam Samparo Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hokshaje Ahoituki Apratiyata Yatma Supersedati. Supersedati means super satisfaction. Supersedati. Super. Oh, it's super, man. Oh, it's really super. That used to be an expression back in the 70s. If something was really good, you would say, it's super. Or we say superb, wonderful, exalted. Supersedati means completely satisfied, super satisfaction. What will give you that super satisfaction? He said, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma. This is the Paro Dharma, the Para Dharma, the topmost Dharma, the topmost activity, the topmost occupational duty, the supreme form of engagement. There's nothing better than this, there's nothing higher than this, nothing more sustaining and fulfilling than this. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma. What is that? Bhakti, Adhoksuja Bhakti. Not any kind of bhakti, Adhoksuja Bhakti. Bhakti to that person who is Adhoksuja. This is the essence of one's spiritual nature and function. The sublime essence of the jivas, of the living beings' spiritual nature and function is devotional service to Krishna, Adhoksuja. That personality who is beyond sense perception, the transcendental Lord. Adhoksuja Bhakti. And how should that bhakti be performed? Should it be performed with motive, ulterior motive? Or should that service or devotion be rendered with calculation? No. It should be selfless and pure, continuous. That bhakti or devotion, which is the topmost dharma of human life, is Krishna Bhakti. It should be performed without any kind of selfish desires. It should be regular and uninterrupted. By performing bhakti in this manner, one's heart feels contented, perceiving the blissful form of Krishna. Yayatma, yayatma supersedati, super satisfaction for the Atman.